Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis. I'm so excited that you're watching this today because I believe it's by appointment from God that you're watching this. You know, I've preached thousands of sermons in my preaching career, and I tell you what, there's some that just stand out. There's some that's before their time. This message that you're about ready to see has went around the world, circled the globe, because it's a special message that I believe the Lord gave to me called, hey, that's my harvest, naming your seed. You see, if you don't know what you're sowing, how are you going to know your harvest? Now, I felt like re-preaching it and make it look totally different because I preached it several years ago. I had gray hair. I was a lot thinner. Don't say nothing about that. Glory to God. Praise God. But I made up my mind that you need to see it the way the Lord gave it to me at that specific time. And I believe it will minister life to you. See, the reason why a lot of people don't receive today is not because of a lack of faith or an abundance of unbelief. Sometimes they just didn't name their seed. When you have a baby, what's the first thing you do? You name it. Notice when you name it, it's yours. Glory to God. It becomes yours legally because it has your name. Well, your seed is a legal thing. It belongs to you. But if you don't name it, you don't know where it's at. You don't know how to get it. Praise God. And how many times you went by something you felt like it was yours, but and you didn't feel greedy about it or covetous any way, shape or form. But there was an attraction to that. You know what it was? It was yours, but you never named it. And someone else got your harvest. So I want you to sit there and watch this. Now, let me say it again. I'm a lot younger. I preached it many, many years ago because it was ahead of its time. But I really believe today it's vitally important that you see this. It will minister to you. You're here by divine appointment of God. You'll be blessed. It's funny. There's a lot of funny things in it. Glory to God. But there's some great revelation. And I'm telling you, this literally has circled the globe. And so many testimonies of people have wrote and said, my God, it changed my life. So stay right there. We're bringing you into this message. Several years ago that I preached, because it's a message from the Lord God Almighty. Watch this. So if you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6. And the title of this sermon this morning is, hey, that's my harvest. That's mine. Hey, that's mine. And I like my stuff to be my stuff. I received this message out jogging one day, and I was dealing, and you know, I go to a lot of different churches. I've been, I guess, since this meeting, about 867 different churches in America and Canada. That's a lot of churches, not counting repeats. And all every time I went, I've always heard people say, gotta get the church out of debt. Gotta get the church out of debt, you know, and thinking of ways and, you know, believing and trusting God. But then the Lord began to reveal to me as I was out jogging. He said, not only must the church, quote, be out of debt, but my people need to be out of debt. And that's the truth, because if you out of debt, you can take it to the bank. The church going to be out of debt. And the Lord gave me this little phrase. He said, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody that was saved did get their check at the end of the week and they'd ask their husband or their wife, honey, what do you want to do with this? What should we do? How many of y'all would love to be in that position? Now, let me do a little preaching first. And I'll get funny after a while. Okay? But I want you to get this. Because this will get you out of debt like this. You don't have to wait on it. You'll get to a point that you'll never miss a believer's convention. If they want one in wherever, if God tells Ken and Glory to go to some far out, some wild country somewhere, you can say, well, we'll be on the next plane going. Because all it takes is money. That's all it takes. You can stay in any hotel in the world if you got bucks. Is that correct? You can go to any country, live anywhere, do anything you want to do, because the world system is operating on economy, money. People always want to know, you know, it's a very private matter, but people always want to know how much everybody's making. And the reason why they want to know, they want to compare it with what they're making. And if they don't like what they see, they get aggravated. I had a man tell me one time, he said, I'll tell you what, you preacher, y'all just in it for the money. I said, well, how come you not in it? That kind of aggravated me. I said, if it's so wonderful, how come you not in it? He went, no, I'm not in it for the money. I made a lot of money before I ever got saved. I was a rock musician. I didn't look at it. I made big bucks. I know what it is to drive big cars, small cars, and no cars. I've been in all three of them. And I made a lot of money. You can ask my wife, but it didn't bring me any happiness. I thought it would because I was raised without money, poor. And I thought if I could just get enough money, I could do anything. That's not true. That is simply not true. Some of the greatest entrepreneurs of America's history committed suicide with multiplicity millions of dollars. That little phrase came from a certain man I know, praise God. So it doesn't bring you happiness. But I really believe you're just as rich. Let me just give you a statement. You're just as rich as your cash flow. You can own the world, or you can have great amounts of assets and go broke. See, some people are wealthy because of the amount of debt they owe. That's true. You can get in Forbes magazine. Say, I'm a billionaire. Yeah, but you owe $400 billion. You know, they consider that wealth. Wealth to me is your cash flow. In other words, honey, where you want to eat? Honey, where you want to go? Let's go do this. Well, honey, that costs $100. We got it. That's cash flow. Galatians chapter 6, God took me to this scripture, title of the sermon, Hey, That's My Harvest, and I want you to listen. And like I said, I'll get funny after a while, but let me do a little preaching first. Bible said in Galatians 6, verse 1, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, and that's a great statement right there, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ, or the law of the anointed one. For if a man think himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. You ever rejoiced in yourself alone? Think about that. You ever looked in the mirror and went, Woo! Thank God I was born to this world. That's not arrogance. That's rejoicing in yourself. Sometimes I'll get up and go to the hotel bathroom mirror and I go, Jesse, therefore if any man be in Christ, that's you. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, boy. I put a behold on myself sometimes. That's rejoicing in myself. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to weightlift. I always wanted to have big muscles, you know. I wanted to be an Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know. But every man, you know, and you work out them weights, man. I mean, you work out them weights. And I when I was dating Kathy, I'd pump up real good and just drive as fast as I could to her house and walk in like this. Remember that, Kathy? It never impressed her at all. I always wanted to get that little Cheerio in my arm. But it never did. It fell down here where the Cheerio was. You know, and that kind of stuff. Rejoicing in yourself. And some people say that's arrogance. We say it in Cajun language. That man think himself. Well, no, you can rejoice in yourself. You know, you've been put down. The whole world is designed. All marketing things are designed to put you down so you can buy their product. Oil of Olay. Mystical, magical body fluid. If you don't use this stuff, your face will look like a pepperoni pizza. So you go out and buy it. Sheer energy. And then women say, I got to get them things. Notice, they're saying if you don't have our product, then you're not what you should be. You notice that? See the deception in that. Crest fights cavity. How many of y'all been to the factory? How many of y'all have used Crest and had to go to the dentist? And it's a good toothpaste. I use it every morning myself. I use all kinds of stuff. In fact, Kathy asked me every morning. I don't know why she asked me. Did you brush your teeth? She asked me that every morning. I said, yes. I've only been brushing it for 42 years. Yeah. Is my breath bad? No. Why do you ask me if you brush your teeth? You want to know how bad it would get? She says, let me see your teeth. And I go, one day I'm going to eat me some spinach. You're going to say, let me see your teeth. I was supposed to preach instead of get funny. Get off of that. Okay. That's rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man, verse 5, shall bear his own burden. Now notice Jesus starts talking about giving here in verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now notice that text goes over into giving.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate, or in other words, give unto them that teacheth in all good things. Now, verse 7, God says, be not deceived. That's a very important statement. God is not mocked. For whatsoever, if you got a pen, circle that word, underline it, put stars on it. That's the most important word in that verse. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What you put in the ground is coming up. Makes no difference. The word whatsoever is very important. And Jesus is so excited giving this revelation to Paul that he says, well, let's just take, since we're talking about sowing and reaping and giving, he said, for he that soweth, verse 8, to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Notice that. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now he's still dealing with whatsoever. Then he goes to verse 10. He goes back to giving. And we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men. The word men there is italicized. It means all people. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Verse 6 is talking about giving. Verse 10 is talking about giving. And God sandwiches all this sowing and reaping in the rest of those verses. For whatsoever a man soweth. Now, for years, I've been a giver. How many of you people, you've been a giver for years? Hold your hand up. Okay. And for years, I was out jogging, as I was saying, as I was running. And, you know, I like to speak in tongues when I pray because your body starts rebelling on you, you know, when you're jogging. After about 4 miles, your body says, hey, fool, look at your head. It's white. You want to kill us out here? You know, that kind of stuff. And you say, shut up. You're going to do what I told you to do. I'll tell you to do. At Cajun's, you know, mixes it up sometimes. So I was out jogging, and the Lord said, I want to deal with you about your finances, Jesse. I want to deal with you about your giving. And I thought, oh, Lord, I guess I didn't give. Did I miss God? Well, I should have done something. What? He said, you know, what you sow is what you reap. He said, you know, you've always had everything met. Your needs have always been met. And I said, that's right. He said, but are you at the point in your life where you cannot receive any more blessing? I said, no. Then I got to thinking. He said, let me tell you something, Jesse. For years, you've never named your seed. You got a good heart, but you don't have a lot of sense. Be not deceived. He starts that off. And for centuries, we have been deceived in our own giving. And we've walked past great, wonderful fields of harvest where the devil had his people guarding it. And we thought, man, if I could just get that, and that belonged to us. Because we never named our seed. And if you don't name your seed, how you gonna know your harvest? How you gonna know what belongs to you? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, whatsoever. Now what does whatsoever mean to you people in California? Whatsoever, you people watching my television, what does whatsoever mean to you? Think about it. Think. God's opened this thing wide. Don't be deceived. Don't mock God. Listen to me. He says, name your seed. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So whatsoever encompasses all human activity in life. All human activity in life. If you don't know what kind of seed you're sowing, you will not know what kind of harvest. Now, I've been a tither for a long time. The day I got saved, remember that, Kathy? I got saved on a Saturday night in Boston, Massachusetts. I mean, a freak. I had to go do a rock show by Sly and the Fan. I was doing, opening up the rock show with, feeling getting stronger. What you doing that rock boy? What's the words? I done forgot the words now. Down, watch, down, watch. And then you coming out there and them girls, woo! And you just get down with your bad self. That has happened. And I just got saved. The next morning I went to a church. I became a tither. I walked into this church, I said, here's the money, $8,000. The pastor went, oh, is he an angel? Does an angel look, does he wear Levi's and embroidering head on the hip? That's what I looked like in those days. So what I'm saying is, I immediately became a thief, because I wanted to do what God did. And the first thing that came up was giving. Because his nature is to give. For God so loved the world that he gave. I picked that up immediately because I picked up his nature. Giver. You understand? Now watch this. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you don't name the seed, you'll lose it. I begin to look at the tithing scripture, and I heard it every Sunday. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Boy, to get excited. If I not open up the windows of heaven and pull ye out a blessing, that you shall not be able to receive it. How many of you have heard that verse at least a million times? So man, I'd open my wallet. I said, I'm going to give some money. Glory to God. Should have went to the drugstore and took care of that rasp. All right. Got to get off the funny stuff. Listen. All right. This anointing hits me when I get it. I'm not a funny person. I'm really not. I had a lady tell me that to take that with me. You remind me of Clark Kent. When you're standing there, you're a mild-mannered man. When you hit the platform, faster than a speeding bullet. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. More powerful than a locomotive. Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. Now it's Jesse. All right. Now where was I? Okay. Tithing. So I shred that scripture and I was blessed. And how many of y'all are tithers? Hold your hand up. Okay, listen. God said you should not have room enough to receive it. If you're a tither, hold your hand up. Now, how many of y'all got room to receive? Same people. I didn't lose a hand. There was one woman went. All right. Why? That should not be. That should not, because God's word will not return void. Then I realize what tithing does is it meets all the general operating expenses of a church of what it takes for it to operate. Pay salaries, light bills, and if it has a mortgage on it, whatever. Notice what you got back from all those years of tithing, because you brought meat to God's house and meat took care of all the necessities of God's house. You got back the necessities of your house. Right? Right. In other words, you was able to make your bills, but that house note come due every 30 days, that car note come due every 30 days. How do you get out of debt? How we break the chain from the world? And yet they said give tithe and offerings. So we knew this is our tithe. We named it, and because it brought meat to God's house, it brought meat to our house. But when we took our offering, we just throw it in there. Right? And I promise you, you lost it before you got out the door. Because every 30 days, that house note was looking at you. Now, your tithing was meeting everything you needed. But you want to get out of debt. You want to get your check and say, I don't know what to do with this. See? So the Lord began to deal with me. He said, for years, Jesse, you've been a giver. And I'd enjoy our ministry. Can I say that, Lord?
Yeah.
When did I go? I've only went to one Kenneth Hagin convention. What year that was? 83, 84? The Lord dealt with me. I was sitting there. And I said, Lord, I don't know this man. I had stopped by. That was the most expensive pit stop I ever made in my life. I said, well, I've heard about this man. Because, you know, he does his fingers like this. The word of God says, don't you see? And, you know, you get to look at him, you're going, boy, after a while, you find yourself doing this. You know, power suggestion. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to give? He said, I want you to give $10,000. Wait. I leaned over the guy next to him. I said, did you say anything? He said, no. I said, are you sure? He said, and I noticed sweat was coming off of his cheeks. I said, you don't feel good? He said, the Lord just told me to give $10,000. I said, I heard it. That must be your message. That's not mine. Yeah, I heard it too, but that's good. Get out of here, man. The Lord said, I told you too. And I said, God, wait. I don't want to say this too loud so nobody hear me. Listen. God. What, Jesse? That's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. I never forget that. And I did. And I'll never forget, there was a white-headed guy picking up the offering. I think his name was Norval. He said, if you give $10,000, you come up and shake his hand. I ain't shaking his hand $10,000, bless God. I better take my $10,000, put it in this hand, and shake my own hand. You know? Praise God. Watch this. Now watch. I lost that $10,000, ladies and gentlemen. What do you mean you lost the $10,000? Oh, God bless me because I was a tither. I didn't lose it in a sense like, you know, that I was in jail. I didn't get my return. That devil stole my money. And oh, man, I wasn't 3 or 4 months later. I saw harvesters everywhere. And I thought, God, this is what I need for my ministry. But the devil was standing with his guards saying, that's not yours. This is the wealth of the wicked. You are the just. I never named the seed. I didn't know that was my harvest. When I was out jogging, I went, hey, that's my harvest. But if I didn't know what I put in the ground, how am I going to know when it comes back 30, 60, 100 fold that it's mine? Now watch this. That's because we never named seed. Many of you have done the same thing. I don't care if it's 2 cents. You give your kid $3, $2 a quarter. Say, put this in the Sunday school offering. Ask him what he's believing for. What are you believing for? What are you believing for? I promise you. Now, this is not dealing with your tithe. Now, if you take this seed out of your tithe, you ain't going to make it till the end of the month. Because then you're taking meat out of your house. See, because you name that for God's meat in his house, that brings meat in your house. You take that out, and you're going to run out of money about the 25th. Y'all know what I'm talking about. People say, well, that's the day I run out of money. Now watch this. If you don't know what kind of seed you're sowing, you will not know what kind of harvest is yours. So I used to think, those guys just want me to give because they need their budget. Well, that's true. But I made up my mind. If you don't get your check on Friday, you're going to talk about money too. It takes money to operate. But then I began to realize that even in my giving, I wasn't giving the way God really, or I didn't understand it. See, giving or sowing should be regarded as an act of worship. It should be, you motivated by love to give. This is the truth. Christmas is my favorite time of the year. Brother, I tell Kathy, stay home. I'm going to the mall. I'll see you when I get back. Man, I hit that mall. My God, I got boxes. I'm walking like stuff. And I bless people. I hate to wait in line to get things wrapped. So I told this little black girl, she was wrapping my, I said, if you wrap me now, you shall be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. She went, oh, amen. She is a Christian. So she wrapped my box, cost me $5, and I blessed, and I gave her $50. Why not? It's Christmas. I said, I am believing for this. Pray that my wife hears so I can get my gift. This is my seed. I gave her $50. She went, huh. It was a man sitting there. He said, I'll wrap it for $22. I said, no. The Lord told me to bless her. So I did. Giving or sowing should be regarded as an act of worship. You're motivated by love to give. Now I like, and I come, and Kathy goes, what is it? The woman loves presents. So I wrap them in 2 or 3 boxes because they punch holes in the first ones, you know. And they shake. And she says, you want me to open up one? No, no, we'll do it Christmas. How about, you want to open just one? No, no, we just one. It's okay. Listen, I'll be excited Christmas morning. I said, no, I want you to wait. Oh, we don't want to wait. Just one. So I have to buy 3 or 4, 5 or 6 or 7 of them little ones, you know. Going up to the big one. And that one has, the big one has to be at somebody's house. So they don't know about it. Then you bring it in late at night on Christmas Eve. What you say? Sowing should be regarded as an act of worship. If you don't name your seed, I promise you, the devil will see it. Sister Chloe has been talking about the sower soweth the word, and Satan come immediately. Why? He can see it. See, we didn't sow our seed. We throwed our seed. I promise you, I take a handful of seed, go out in front of the Anaheim Convention Center, throw it out there. Every bird in California will know about it. Why? Because they can see it. They get harvest time. How many birds are flying over this place? This is a faith convention. There's going to be a lot of seed out here. You understand what I'm saying? Now watch this. Be not deceived. God is not, God is very interested in you being out of debt. Because when he pulled the nation of Egypt out and set them free, he said, take my money. Get my money. Be not deceived. He not let the devil keep his money. Because they owed the nation of Israel 400 years of labor. God said, get my money. Bring it out with you. God knew that seed. He said, that's my harvest. 400. I want it. And he put them on a desert where they couldn't spend it. Isn't that amazing? And women didn't buy shoes for 40 years. Ain't that a miracle of God? That's a miracle of God. Kathy will walk by a shoe store and go, whoo, whoo. I said, my God, I wish I got her that excited. One day I'ma just wrap myself in a shoebox. That woman loves shoes, man. Into shoes. Watch this. So sowing should be regarded as an act of worship. You're motivated by love to give. So let me just bless you. Let me just reach out to you. I just want to bless you. See, that's love. That's what God the Father was saying. Hey, I want to bless the world. What's the best thing I can give Jesse? Ah, Jesus. Salvation is free to you today. But it definitely isn't cheap. It cost Jesus Christ his life. Think about that. So God was thinking to bless me. He was motivated by love and he named this seed. He said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, and because he is my son, you shall be my sons. Notice that. Harvest. If your giving is not motivated by love, then you're not giving according to the way God tells you to give. Now the Bible says this, and I'm going to ask you a question. It says, every man according as he purposed in his heart. Notice that's done before you get to the believer convention. So let him give. Now, how many people actually prayed, put their face before God and sought and say, Lord, what do you want me to do in the area of finance for this convention? Hold your hand up if you did that. I would say not even 0.5% of the crowd. You understand? We got to follow the word of God letter by letter. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Every man according as his purpose. Notice that's done before. So let him give, not grudgingly. You see, if you don't do that, you get grudgingly. Turn one thing, bless God, you got to pick up and off another service. Or you be on television and say, listen, we'd like for you to, you like to share and carry in this ministry, then you do what God tells you to do. You got the address on the bottom of the screen. My God, why did they got to talk about that? Because there's thousands of dollars hitting you in the face. When you hear Brother Colton say, Jesus is Lord, money busting you right in the chops. They're not giving that time away. It costs money. You understand what I'm saying? It costs you money to pull it in, your television or your cable subscriptions. Every man according as he purposed and his heart, so let him give, not gradually, listen to this, nor of necessity, not because the need dictates that you need to give to it. No, the reason why you're giving, because you purposed, you're not deceived, God's not mocked, you purposed. Man, you in line for a blessing. So when they say, we need to meet such and such, or we need to do this, or your favorite ministry, your church say, we need it, you go, whoa, glory to God, I'm ready. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. See, your giving or your sowing is now motivated by love. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, have you ever seen anybody open up their wallet and go, boy, isn't this wonderful to give? Just throw it in a plate. God. Hilariously. No, most people go, you know, I used to do a lot of heavy, big crusades and things years ago, and the Lord began to direct me toward the church. But when I do that, I notice that all the dollar bills, when people give a dollar, they make rings out of them. They scrump them up. But every $100 bill that was in there was laid flat. Laid flat. Every 20. You could see it floating in the bucket. My God, them dollar bills were like basketballs. You could dunk them. Crunched up, rings. Wonder why they wanted people to know what they gave, what they're giving, because they were motivated by love. And I'm telling you, if you don't name the seed, you will be deceived. You will make it because you're a tither, but you will have to pay that mortgage for 30 years. You'll have to pay that car note from 3 to 5 years, however you finance it. And God told me, he said, Jesse, what you sow is what you reap. I had a gentleman friend of mine. He said, you know, Jesse, I gave a car away, but the Lord didn't give me a car. You know, but he gave me good health. The Lord said, that's unscriptural. I can't give him health by him giving a car. The only thing I can give him is a car. It's the law of Genesis. It's Genesis 1:26. The seeds reproduce after its own kind. So I looked at him. I said, sir, the devil been ripping you off for 5 years. God, the devil owes you a car. And his wife caught it. Yeah, honey. What's the matter with you? We gave the car to a missionary. And my God, we're driving that piece of trash within 2 weeks. I said, call it in. That's yours. That's your harvest. Hey, in 2 weeks' time, he had a Lincoln Town car give to him. And you think that his wife would be excited? She said, no, could have had this 5 years ago. But no. You don't name that seed, you're going to lose it. You're going to make it because you're a tither in terms of your expenses. But you want to get to the point where you get totally, completely out of debt. I don't care if it's 5 cents. I name my seed. What am I believing for? What do I expect? Hey, that's my harvest. You see, and the devil puts something in us called thoughtlessness. Thoughtlessness is the beginning of great loss in one's life. All human life is sowing. If you don't name that seed, you're not going to know your harvest. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, whatsoever is the key. Whatsoever, whatsoever. You sow clothes, you get clothes. You know why I pray for people to be healed? So I can feel better. Yeah. The other night when I was praying for Bill, I told this lady, I said, I want to pray for you so I can feel better. She went, huh? I said, I want to pray for you so I can feel better. She said, no, you mean so I can feel better. I said, no, listen. So I can feel better. Why? I'm sowing healing. I get health. She gets healed. I get health. I said, I told her, after I prayed for her, I said, boy, I feel better. She said, so do I. I said, go sow. More health will come to you. You sow healing, you get health. See, I thought the reason why I walked in divine health all these years, because I believed it. Well, that's true in one sense. But the Lord dealt with me on that jogging track. He said the main reason was, Jesse, every week you sowed healing, the only thing I can give you is health. Just health. And I can't wait till I get up tomorrow because I'm going to feel better. Same spirit raised Jesus from dead, quickens, makes alive my mortal body. Now, I got tired last night. When I got to the hotel, my knees went. And, you know, I didn't need no revelation. All I needed was go to bed. Just go to bed. I jumped, and I normally don't do it. Kathy always goes to bed before I do. But I jumped in that bed. I jumped in that bed and I don't even remember. I heard her say something because my head hit the second time on that pillow. I was gone. I was sewing. And guess what I got? My harvest, rest. Rest, ready to go. What do you say? Whatsoever encompasses all human activity. Don't become thoughtless in your giving. I don't care if your child, hey, here's $1 for, or $5 or whatever, for the children back there. Ask them what they're believing for. I had a gentleman not long ago, a little fella, pretty little boy. He must have been about 7 years old. He walked up to me, had one of these big, huge silver belt buckles. He was out in the West. And he walked up to me and he said, Brother Jesse. He had these real starched jeans and a crease down there and a Western shirt. Sweet little fella. And I said, how you doing, little man? And tears in his eyes. He says, I want to give to your television ministry. And he gave me $7. That's a lot of money to a 7-year-old kid. It's $1 a year. That's big bucks to a 7-year-old. I looked at him, I almost went, no, little fella. And the Lord said, what are you doing? Ask him what he's believing for. I said, thank you. I said, you know what I'm going to get with this $7? And he said, what? I said, I'm going to get 7 souls into the kingdom of God. You understand? Now, that's my harvest. What are you believing for? He went, huh? I said, you have given me a seed. If you don't name this seed, you're going to lose this money. And $7 is a lot of money to lose. He went, that's true. I said, what are you believing for? Name your seed, little fella. What are you believing for? He went, A four-wheeler wouldn't be bad. That's what he said. I said, a four-wheeler? That's great. That's fine. Now, this is a four-wheeler, Steve. I'm going to get seven souls. You're going to ride all over your house or your yard. I said, anything else? This is a big seed. He said, and a horse. I said, fine. Now, this is a horse, and this is a four-wheeler. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, and he broke out the spot. I said, the devil can't rob you, son. He cannot rob you. You have planted your seed. You're motivated by love. You've named it. You're not deceived. You're not mocking God. You got it coming. He says, thank you. I said, you're welcome. He said, can I hug you? Yeah, and he hugged one leg. He's grabbed my leg. Okay. Sweet little boy. Well, this was down in the bottom of the church. Make a long story short, down in the basement. Make a long story short, I go back up to the church and go into the foyer. And here comes a man. And he got starched blue jeans on and a belt buckle about this big. And a hat. He said, how you doing there, brother? Yes, sir. I said, I'm doing fine, sir. He said, I noticed my boy was talking to you. I hope he wasn't bothering you. I said, no, sir. I said, man, you got a sweet son. That's a sweet little boy. He said, me and my wife are definitely proud of that boy. That's a working boy. You know, he's only 7 years old, but he's never asked me for a dime. He works hard. We just love that boy. He said, you sure he wasn't bothered? I said, I enjoyed talking to him. What a blessing. God has blessed you with a great son. He said, you know, he said, this is kind of strange. He said, I don't know if I know the voice of God as much as some of you ministers, but let me just ask you a question. This morning I was driving to church and the Lord, I don't know if it's the Lord or not, me and my wife started talking. We thought maybe buying that kid a four-wheeler. Wait. I asked him, I said, really? I said, has your son ever asked you for a four-wheeler? He said, no, sir. My son don't ask me for nothing. He's a hard little worker. He's just hard. We're just so proud of him. I've never had to. It's in him. He don't ask me for nothing. He delivers papers. He does all kinds of things. He never asked me for nothing. And my wife said, let's buy that boy for, and let's get him a horse too. Now you will never make me believe if that boy wouldn't have named his seed, he wouldn't have got his horse or his four-wheeler. I said, when are you planning on doing it? He said, I'm thinking about doing it this afternoon. I said, you know, you ought to obey God. You believe I'm a man of God? He said, yes, I do. I said, the Bible said, the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. Horse, four-wheeler, established, witness. Come on. Let's go. Name your seed. Hey, that's my harvest. Watch this. Now, if I'd have said, thank you, brother, for blessing the ministry. Come here, little fella, let me bless you. That would have been a thoughtless gesture on my part. The kid wouldn't have got his harvest. And $7, you can't buy a four-wheeler. And if you can buy a horse for $7, you better not ride him. The audio man almost fell off the stool right there. What are you saying? Thoughtlessness is the beginning of great loss. My daughter came up to me. She said, Dad, me and Ed believing for a house. I said, hey, pay off God's house. Pay off your house. What you sow, what you reap, be not deceived. God's not mocked. If you don't name your seed, you are mocking God. You are letting the devil control what belongs to you. I asked the Lord one time. He said, the wealth of the wicked laid up for the just. I said, that's not right, God. You are a just God. Why would you take from those people and give to me? I mean, that's Robin Hood stuff. Rob from the rich, give to the poor. He said, Jesse, your ancestors for centuries have been giving and throwing seed instead of sowing seed. He said, the reason why the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, that's your ancestors' seed that they never named ever. He said, and bless God, that's my money. And if it's my money, it's your money because you're an heir with me and a joint heir. That's why it's coming back. That's why he can go do that. You see, that's why he can go get the wealth of the wicked and give it to you. Why? Because your ancestors over centuries have been giving, but never named the seed. And I promise you, you sow that seed without naming it, and the devil's picking it up before you get out of church. And you notice he's very wealthy. Why? He got no money. Because he knows you a giver. So next time you pass that harvest, if you've named that seed, say, hey, that's my harvest. That's mine. Get off my property. That's what Caleb did. He said, that mountain is mine. I'm 85 years old, Joshua. Them giants owe me 40 years of rent. That's my money. Brother, them giants come walking down that mountain, Caleb, behind a tree with a stick. Whack, whack, just knocking fire out of them. Pay me my money. And he still owns that territory. What are you saying? Sowing should be regarded as an act of worship. If you don't know what kind of seed you're sowing, how are you going to know what kind of harvest is yours? How are you going to know it belongs to you? What you put in the, I don't care what it is. Now you can give a memorial seed, say, I'm believing God for a car. You can plant a seed, say, this is my car. Or you can go and get an actual car and give it. The only thing you're going to get back. Not going to get all this other stuff like people tell you. No, no. That's why many of you have been givers and wondered why are we not blessed to the point that we can go do what we want? And you know, you really have been struggling with this in your mind. Well, number one, thoughtlessness has been a part of your life. And number two, you haven't considered your ways. Now, this has been in the Bible for thousands of years. You see, you never know the true worth of money till you share it with others. Till you share. Let me tell you something. My daddy always made me work. I said, hey, daddy, can I have a quarter? Boy, you know how long it took me to make a quarter? Oh, Lord, here we go with them snow stories. All right, you walked up a mountain and you lived in Louisiana. Daddy, there ain't no snow in Louisiana. Boy, I walked up alligator backs, bless God, to make a quarter. All that kind of stuff. Then I said, okay, forget it. Now, he would come over to my house when Jody was little, and he said, come here, Jody, let's see what Papa got for Jody. I said, Jody, that is not the man I was raised with. That's an old man right now trying to go to heaven. That's why he's giving. Boy, and he said, let me see what I got for Jody. I said, what about your son? Need to work, son. How many of y'all are raised like that? Get a story. I'll tell you one thing. I walked through dirt this high. All that kind of stuff. What do you say? You haven't considered your ways. Now, notice this. Whatsoever is a very key word. Considering your ways is the key element in specific seed. It's the law of Genesis. You can go and read. He said, the seed will reproduce after its kind. Notice Jesus named it the kind to reproduce. He named it so he knew what kind of harvest would come back from what was put in the ground. Now watch this. There are certain conditions upon which God will bless his people. One is, every man according as he purposed in his heart. There must be purpose in this. All our acts are forces. Every time we think, every time we feel, every time we exercise our will, we are sowing. Why do people commit adultery? Because they sow seed. They sow seed first. They look at that woman and that devil throws that thought in their mind and they don't do what you said to do, glory, cast down their imagination. They think. And that devil will make sure some woman will look at you and go, how you doing? And especially if you're a man getting up in age and it's taking you an hour to comb your hair because you got three hairs on your head trying to cover all that space. You go, I still got the stuff. No, you don't. Just ask your wife. She'll say, no, he ain't got the stuff. Because women will tell you the truth, bless God. But a man's stupid. You know, he start thinking like that. See, he didn't cast down that imagination. That's a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, that's lust seed in you. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And you say, no. I'm not going to. You didn't consider your ways. See, every time you act or think or feel, you are sowing. So I'm very careful what I place in my front of my eyes. I'm very careful when thoughts come in my mind. I rebuke them in Jesus' name. I believe in embarrassing sin. I said that day. I had a person one time. You know, I ain't the ugliest man in the world. You know, people think I'm a lawyer. You know, if I'm just hanging around because of the white hair and everything. But I was in this mall and this woman walked up to me. I didn't know. I thought she was just going to say, hello, Brother Jesse. How you doing? She said, hi. I like your hair. I said, you do? She said, yes. She said, would you like to have some company? You was there? Maybe she got saved. I don't know. No, praise God. I looked at her. I said, what? She said, would you like to have some company? There's all kinds of ways we can have fun. Now, I could have done this. Open up my shirt, let her see my white hair on my chest. You know what I did? I looked at her. I went, sin! Harlot! Whore of Babylon! Boom! She took off running. all you got to say. Jezebel! She went, whoa! Took off. Now, why is that embarrassing to you? That was a high thing that exalted itself against the purity and the power of Jesus' name, and I'll have nothing to do with it. Why? It'll destroy you. I'm a man of faith. It controls this body. Why is that so hard? I just couldn't help myself. Temptation was greater than I can bear. Lie. Your wife don't believe that. You think God's going to believe it? All acts are forces. Every time you think, feel, or exercise, your will, you are sowing. Consider your way. So what do you do about Jesse? Well, bless God, when I, you know, something comes to my mind that shouldn't be, I go to the Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and say, finally, Jesse, listen, finally, don't slap your face, you got makeup on it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So I refuse to think that trash. Say, did you learn that from Philippians? No, I learned it from Scarlett O'Hara. From Gone with the Wind. They give her a bad report. She says, I will not think about that today. And I saw that. I said, that'll preach. I will not think about that today. See, I'm not going to let my mind be a garbage field for the devil dump his trash in. I'm going to think on things that are lovely, just, good report, pure, virtuous, honest, true. And adultery is not any of those. And besides, I would hurt my Heavenly Father's feelings. And I wouldn't have time to repent because my wife would kill me. I mean, she's a beautiful woman, but she can get jealous. And I don't know. I said, Kathy, look at me, man. I'm just a white. She said, shut up. I was in New York one time. And, you know, you can tell when people first go to New York, when they walk down downtown Manhattan, they do this. Now, when they go to Rodeo Drive, they do this. Now, you spend money there. But I'm looking around, and Kathy says, I'm going to go in here and get some film for the camera. Take shots. It was right there by Radio City Music Hall. I said, okay. I said, I want to look at all this stuff, man. Now, I'm looking like this, and here come another hooker. She went, hi. She grabbed me, man. I saw Kathy. If you ever see my wife's cheeks blow out, get away from her. There goes the television camera. Blow your cheeks, mama. Go ahead. Oh, she got hot. So this woman approached me, and I went, I did the same thing. What? Whore! Harlot! Whore of Babylon! Boom, she took off running. Kathy said, she grabbed me. She said, you come with me. Why? She wouldn't let me think of those things. Because it wasn't honest, it wasn't just, it wasn't true, it wasn't pure. Hey, that's my harvest. When you start thinking those things, that's how it happens. People don't commit adultery, go into the 7-Eleven, get a quart of milk, meet a woman, commit adultery, and come back and say, honey, I don't know why I did what I did. Uh-uh. Come on. You think. You call. You begin to let the devil put that garbage in your mind. And he always starts with your ego, not with the conquest. He says, well, you thought you wasn't. Man, you got more than you thought you had, boy. Oh, yeah, look at you, son. You still got it. Got young girl drooling at the mouth for you. Shut up, devil. That's a lie. Sure, it's a lie. Now, if you're truly in love, it don't make a lick. My wife told me this a week ago. She said, Jesse, you look better now than you did when I married you. She's blind. She's blind, man. That's not true. Listen, man. The older you get, the deeper your belly button gets. The other day, I took a shower and dried myself and leaned over and water come out my stomach. What are y'all laughing at me for? You too? The older you get, your belly button starts smiling. But you see, You're blind. You're in love with each other. That's the difference. It makes no difference. You're just in love. When Kathy met me, my skin was like this pulpit. You couldn't grab me. Today, you bump into me, you'll lose your arm and your shoulder. Consider your ways. Now, wait. Now, listen. Don't laugh too much. I'm taking my time. Hang on. Be not deceived. Hey, this is my harvest. See, we're laughing now, but the devil is spending your money while you are in here laughing. And that ain't funny. How do I get my seed? After you've learned to name your seed. I don't care. You put it in there and say, bless God, I'm paying off God's house. Don't think you can give me back to my house. Don't take it out your tithe and offer it, because you won't make it to the end of the month. That takes care of God's house. Do you understand? This is in your offering. Name it. Drop it. And say, bless God, it shall be. See, now you sowed it. How do I get it to come up? A word called cultivation. Cultivating our seed will produce higher yields. How do I cultivate that seed? The very habit of thinking about our seed causes a growing sense of importance. The very habit of thinking. When you leave this convention, you say, I planted a seed. Kenneth Copeland's ministry. Let's say for a house. My house. Every day you cultivate that. You fertilize it. Now you see, you can take a seed, throw it in the ground. It'll grow something. But if you put fertilizer on it, keep the weeds away from it, cultivate it, you'll get a higher yield. It's called optimum yield. What is cultivation, my Jesse? The very habit of thinking. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Cultivating it. Cultivate. How do you think Kenneth and Gloria done what they did? Cultivation. Cultivation. God will do the same thing to you that he would do for anybody if you just learn this principle. Cultivate. Cultivate. I've given seed for my television ministry and for my television studio and my television ministry. I cultivate it. I tell Kathy, I said, bless God, we gave this money over here, gave this money over there. That's coming in the name of Jesus. I'm cultivating it. But I'm not asking God to give me my money back. No. Uh-uh. I want my harvest. I want trucks driving up and saying, whoo, we got so much equipment, what we're going to do. It's going to happen, too. You can take it to the bank. I am coming to your house. Yes, I am. I'm coming. Cultivation. Cultivation. It's the very habit of thinking about it. I think about it constantly. Sometimes I wake up in the night. Whoo, yes, Lord, glory to God. And I said, Lord, and he gives me figures. I want you to raise this amount of money for television. And I think of his souls. I don't think of his money. Every dollar given, get me a soul. Get me a soul. Get me a soul. See, then what do you do with them after you get them saved? You run them to a believer's convention. Run them to a believer's convention. Get them full of the word of God. The word of faith needs to be preached so hard in Russia. Don't let Russia make the same mistakes that America made. Get in there, bless God. All they're so hungry. Throw them the honest, true word of God, and they will not make the same mistakes as America did. Let me tell you, you train up that person. Cultivation. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Now, this is a very simple scripture. I'm going to prove 99 out of 100 you people are in this verse. Turn with me to the book of Haggai real quick. Haggai. Isn't that a weird name? Haggai. It's right after Zephaniah and right before Zechariah. Haggai. God has some of the weirdest names. I got it. Sir, I liked it what Brother Jerry said about the man named Dodo. Wouldn't that be some guy go to whip you and say, my name Dodo. There's another valley in the Bible when Nehemiah said, he said, come on down to the valley of Ono. The valley of Oh No, God. I wonder why they call it the valley of Oh No, because Dodo was in the valley of Oh No. Oh No, here come Dodo. Well, God's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? He made me. God, I said this at the believers. I hate, why you turning to Haggai? I hate my hands. There's so little. Look at my hands. I believe when God was creating, there was two little hands left on the floor. He said, put them on Jesse so there'll be no loss. I shook a man's hand this morning. Boom, and his fingers were scratching my elbow. Little hands. When Kenneth shakes my hand, Kenneth does this. How you doing, Jesse? Kenneth got big hands, big fingers. Just swallows me. I go... By faith, one day I'm going to go, how you doing, Kenneth? To big hands. Big hands. Haggai. Now, I want to read something to you. Haggai is talking to the people, and he's kind of angry at them because the house of God is not where it should be. Now, tell me this doesn't sound like where you are. Verse 4 of Haggai chapter 1. That was Zechariah. Verse 4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lie in waste. Talking about the house of God. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. See, most of you have been a thoughtless giver. It ain't your fault. The reason why you made your ends meet, because you thought about tithing. And you got your stuff taken care of. But your offerings were never named. You were deceived. The devil stole your money. Consider your ways. Now, doesn't this sound like us today? You have sown much and bring in little. How many of you have sown much? Hold your hand up. And now keep your hand. And how many of you have brought in little? Put your other hand up. Same people. Watch this. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. Don't that sound like us today? And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. You give your tithe and offering, you pay your house note, boom, you got no more money. Now, how does the devil know where you are? You're leaving a trail of money for him to follow. Your bag got holes in it. And you got money trails everywhere. And he's coming and picking those things up and investing it in his people. And harvests are growing up and you are hungry. And you're walking by harvests that are yours, but you don't know it because you haven't named your seed. You've been living with a bag with holes. You know what that tells me? Deception. Verse 7 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, I never heard anybody preach what I'm preaching. And they may have, but I haven't. Name your seed. They just tell you, give. Now, we're going to have a great offering. That's good. Wait a minute. Where the harvest comes from? My God, you're walking out. Bless God, man. And you're leaving a trail of money. And there come the devil. Picking it up. When you ought to have more than enough. And this is not a sermon to get. This is not giving to get. This is a sermon of sowing and reaping. God wants you to be blessed. Do you understand? What are you saying? We've left a trail because we put money in a bag with holes. We can't make ends meet. That's deception. Deception has kept people without their full entitlement. Instead of sowing seed, you throw it seed. Jesus said, don't put new wine in old wineskins. They're going to bust. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Name that seed. I don't care if it's a nickel. What are you believing for? The Lord began to deal with me about my home church in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I was believing God for a building. I needed a building. Our ministry was expanding. Land is very expensive in Louisiana, especially in New Orleans. It's like LA area, you know, there's no more left. New Orleans is built in a wrong place. It's in a bowl. Every drop of rain that rains in New Orleans has to be pumped out because New Orleans is below sea level. We got the best pumps you ever saw in your life. We handle 18-inch rains. Bam! We get it out. Every drop of rain has to be pumped out the city of New Orleans because it's below sea level. We have 18-foot levees going around the Mississippi River and the Lake Pontchartrain. So we know something about how to get water out. Now, sometimes us kids and people get stupid. We pump it in instead of pumping it out. You know, I'd get to drinking, and at one time flooded a whole subdivision. They pumped it in. And the lady wrote, I saw a tidal wave. I want to know where it come from. Let's pump it in. Now watch this. We've just done silly things. So I had been believing God for a building. Then I realized something. Now listen to this. Before my dream can come to pass, I've got to fulfill someone else's dream. See, God doesn't change. Before Joseph's dream could come to pass, he had to fulfill the baker and the butler's dream. Before Jesus' dream could come to pass, be the King of Kings, rose a shared lily of the valley, bright and morning star, he had to fulfill Jehovah's dream. So my church was having a building fund. And the Lord said, Jesse, and I can tell by when he talks like this, usually you say, hey, Jeff, how you doing? But when he says, Jesse, that's a money speech coming. I know it. I go, what? And he spoke that statement, before your dream can be fulfilled, you have to fulfill others. I said, okay, What do you want me to do? No, don't tell me what you want me to do. I know what you want me to do. I'd saved about $100,000. He said, give the $100,000 to your church. I said, God. That's all I got. I know. That's all you asked for. I know. But Lord, do you know how hard and struggling, you know, you're giving those excuses. You know one thing, God. I start telling him my history. I've been beating my brains out for you. I preached in rat hole infested places. I preached for $2 a week. Remember when they didn't give me an offering, but they gave me a Dr. Pepper? I remind him of everything. Lord, I preached for a week and I got a Dr. Pepper. A Dr. Pepper, Lord. I came home, told Kathy, they said, did they give you an offering? I said, they gave me a Dr. Pepper. My wonderful wife went, well, thank God you wasn't thirsty. Then my cheeks swell up. He said, Jesse, you don't have to remind me of any of that stuff. That's all recorded. Now, if you don't want to do it, you don't have, I said, I didn't say I wasn't going to do it. I just want to talk about it a little bit. So I walked up my pastor. And I said, Pat, Frank, I'll give you $100,000. I can't, Jesse. I said, Pat, you're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, I got $1 million building for that seed of $100,000. Hallelujah. Beautiful bill, about 11,000 square foot. Land's very expensive. Pretty. It's beautiful. It's antebellum. Antebellum in the sense that I like antebellum. I was born in the wrong century. Yeah. I like them winding staircases. I like my wife and my daughter to come up to my office and say, Scarlett. I can tell when Kathy's happy. I say, you want to go to the mall? Woo! She slides down the banister. Yeah. The office, some of the people have been to the office. They say, this is beautiful. John Woods and his wife have been to the office. John walked in and went, I want a piece of the carpet. I want some tile. I like this thing. Well, and we did it ourselves, me and Kathy. We enjoyed decorating. I'm into that stuff. I like that stuff myself. Kathy's taught me. Now, I mean, I go out shopping, looking around. You have any clothes and their vases? You have 1,000 flower patterns. I'm into this stuff. I'm looking at it. One time I bought a crystal lamp and I saw a defect in it. And the lady said, I said, there's a defect. She said, they are all defective. I said, my money's not defective. Look at it. There's not a flaw in it. Now go get me a good lamp. And she did. Watch this. Cultivating. Every day, call that seed in. If you don't, deception will come in and you won't consider your ways and the devil will steal. Now notice, I fulfilled Frank's dream. I got my dream fulfilled. Now, as our television ministry is growing, I look for places to sow. Oh, God. Oh, God. Because television is a money-eating monster. But one day, ABC, CBS, NBC, HBO, Showtime, if they can pay Bill Cosby, they can pay me. Why not? I mean, Crest fights cavities, right?
Right.
Why can't they support or pay for a believer's convention? My God, you get Crest and Faith, you'll have wonderful teeth. I mean, they pay them. Why do we have to pay for time? When they pay them, why not? Why? Maybe because the world out there hadn't seen what the church should be. They've just seen this. Oh, won't you help us? Won't you help us? I got a revelation from God. I know I look weird, but I got a revelation from God. Weird stuff. I'm going to pray for you. I'm the power of God. God. You ever notice most people look at the hand? One time I was praying for a woman, this power got hit, and this usher was behind me. She went. And the usher going. And finally he had enough. I said, hey, don't do that. He said, I look stupid walking around like this, man. He said, she wasn't yielding. I helped her. Well, we had to reprimand him that you don't do those things. Deception. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. One time I prayed for a woman. She was a beautiful lady. And I said, the power of God's going to touch you, woman. And I put my hand on her eyes. And her eyelashes came on my thumbs. I didn't know what to do. She goes, oh, God. So I stuck them right here. One time I prayed for a woman and I pulled her wig off. It was embarrassing. In fact, the usher said, Brother Jesse, you got some hair on your hand. You know? Be not deceived. Do you know why I'm making you laugh? Healing is flowing through your bodies. You are souling humor, and a merry heart does God like a medicine. A great medicine is being administered to right now. Hey, that's my harvest. It's mine. I'm not letting the devil rob me. And the Bible said if you catch the thief, you got to return it sevenfold. As I said, Brother Copeland heard me saying, I'm going to get too expensive to mess with. But you know what I've done? I went back to 83, 84 to go find that Hagen seed. And I went back in them bank statements. I'm going to catch a thief. Ha ha. Cancel check. Devil, you owe me seven times. Brother, I'm going back years. You got to pay me, boy. Then God says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for Jesse. And here they're coming with my money. And I'm saying, bring it on in. Just bring it on in. Put it over here, bless God. And now I ain't looking for money. Money looking for me. And it's not because it's money. It's because it's my seed. Hey, that's my harvest. I really ought to do this in a series. It'd take about 5 days to get all this out. I'm just trying to put it all in one. But when you give to God, especially in your offering, name your seed, or give it to the devil, because he's going to steal it. And many of you have been givers, and you should be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out, going out. And I know many of you thought, I've been a giver, God, but it just ain't working. In fact, I think John Avanzini wrote a book, Brother John, it ain't working. You know, you're always going to come back. Let's get to a point where that does never even come up. So, I mean, everything. When the offerings are passed here in the meetings, we'd write a check. I'd say, what are we believing for, Kat? What are you believing for? Bless God. Yes, why? Because it's going to work. So Jody said, Daddy, I'm believing for a house. And I said, Jody, go find a church with a building fund. Pay off God's house and pay off yours. So she came back about 3 days later. She said, Dad, I gave money to the building fund, and I gave money to the old house, your ministry. I want to let you know, pay off God's house, pay off my house. But I wanted to tell you, Daddy, because normally God uses you to bless us. Normally. Hey, that sounded good to me. I love to bless my kid. I said, that's true. I said, but I believe it's going to come from a different source, and it is. Yeah. I said, you can't rely on Dad. Rely on Jesus. See, I said, but I'll tell you one thing. Jesus will never leave you or forsake you, and neither will Jesse. You understand me? Oh, Dad, I love you. I know. I understand that. Can I hug you? Yeah, you can. Won't you just hug me and I'll hug or something like that. What are you saying? Hey, we're in this for the long haul. We have a heritage of faith. See, so I realize the reason why some of these multi-billionaires and millionaires who live terrible lives, sin, trash, and all kinds of junk, they got my money. My ancestors, God didn't leave 400 years of labor cost in Egypt. He said, get it out. Brother, they took it out. They didn't spend it. They gave it to the house of God. Women's little girls' legs grew and the dress grew with them. Shoes grew with the foot. Do you realize how powerful God is? He rained 11 million gallons of water on the ground a day for those people to drink. That ain't counting the water that it took to feed them flocks.
or to water them flowers. He put 1,500 tons of bread on the ground, and one day he did it twice. He sent 20 billion, 400 million quail. You talk about hunting. That's hunting, brother. God is not, his hand is not short. My God, he measured the dirt with a span, moving it all around. My Lord. And he's my Father. What do you say? Whatsoever encompasses all human activity. If you don't know what kind of seed you're sowing, you're not going to know what kind of harvest you're getting. Sowing should be regarded as an act of worship. It's motivated by love. Thoughtlessness is the beginning of great loss in one's life. All human life is sowing. Consider your ways as the key element in specific seed. There are certain conditions on which God will bless his people. All our acts are forces. Every time we think, feel, or exercise our will, we are sowing. Cultivating our seed will produce higher yields. The very habit of thinking about it causes seed to grow and makes a great sense of importance out of it, because you give according to purpose. Deception has kept people from their full entitlement. Throwing seed on top of the ground instead of sowing seed, you'll lose it. Putting money in a bag with holes will just cause a trail for the devil to find you. It's time for you people to get what rightfully belongs to you. I'll say this in close. We're leaving blessing Jody and Ed. We only have one daughter. And I've had people tell me, my mom used to say, give that kid too much. You give that kid too much. I said, Mom, I finally learned what to say. I said, you can't spoil your children with love. You spoil your children by not disciplining them. That's how you spoil kids. We gave Jody everything she ever wanted, but we beat her brains out 3 times a week. We disciplined her. And I like to bless her. How can I live in a nice place or have something nice and my daughter struggling? Well, I know they need to learn things in life. I understand that. But bless God, if I can cause her to miss a pit hole, I will. Yeah. She owns everything I got. Kids don't think straight, you know. She was 15 years old one time. She was looking around the house. Kids get to thinking their parents are going to die. Yeah, that happens. They cost them. She said, boy, Daddy, you and Mama die, what am I going to do with all this furniture? Remember she said that? I said, Jody, me and your mama die, you get the house. She went, yeah. I said, but we ain't dying. We're going in a rapture because we're faster than a speeding bullet. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. And when she was 5 years old, she was standing in the back of the car. You know, kids just do that. That's when you didn't have to wear seatbelts. And, kids think of the strangest things. We saw there was a lot of property for sale and for lease, you know, lease or leasee. So Jody goes, boy, Daddy, Mom, leasee must be rich. And I said, why? She says, because all these signs says for leasee. See how she's thinking? I said, leasee is rich. When she was that same age, she was playing in a park. There must have been 50 kids out there. She stopped the ice cream truck. She said, give everybody an ice cream. All the kids, yeah, yeah, yeah. The ice cream man, what you going to do? You got 50 kids screaming at you. So he gave them all ice cream, every one of them. She said, go down the street to that yellow house on the left. My daddy got a lot of money. You remember that guy? I saw the ice cream truck man pull up my car. And my friend, I thought, what do you want? He said, you missed the Jesse DePlanis? Yes. You owe me, what, 58? 50? I don't remember. Now, a bunch of, I said, what? He said, your kid just bought an ice cream for everybody. And she said, you got a lot of money. Remember that? So I said, my wife has money. This minute. I said, Johnny! She came down to all the kids. Thank you, Mr. Jesse. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jesse. I said, you're welcome. You're welcome. I said, Jody, what's the matter with you? She said, I figured you could handle it, Dad. From that day on, she's called me El Shaddad. The dad that's more than enough. You enjoyed it?